Let's go to John Stenchult now, the editor of the BRW Rich 200. John, I don't know whether you have been watching this with some interest, but I certainly have. All the conversation, and certainly sparked by Pauline Hanson, sparked by a number of other comments about, you know, sort of whether Australia should be limiting the ethnic mix into Australia, all that type of thing. I find it bizarre because whenever I go down through the list of the 200 wealthiest people according to BRW on an annual basis, I'm always gobsmacked by the number of immigrants who are on that list.
Oh, absolutely, Ross. I was just having a look now and I'm counting the different countries in the top 20 or 30 or so. We're talking people born in China, people born in, you know, in Poland, people born in South Africa, in Canada, Jack Cowan, who came from Canada.
All right, let's go through them. Let's start at the very top. Number one on the list, Harry Triguboff.
Yes, well, he was born in China.
Born in China of Russian parents, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yes,
okay.
Yes, that's right.
$10.6 billion. Heritage. Number two on the list, though born in Australia, I think Anthony Pratt, certainly his parents weren't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, again, sort of, you know, immigrants from, I think it was Central Europe, I think you'll find, Ross. So, look, again, you know, it's a similar situation with Frank Lowy at number three as well. So, $8.26 billion. So, you've got, you know, there you go, three families, top three, that you know, have all come from overseas. And it just keeps going from there.
Okay, John Gandel, of course, known for all of his shopping centres and so forth. Born where, do you know?
Yeah, I think he's born in Australia, but again, his parents, all, you know, there's family heritage from overseas, definitely Central Europe. So,
number six on the list?
Yeah, Wei Wing Mao, China.
James Packer, born in Australia. Andrew Forrest, born in Australia. Ivan Glazenberg?
Yeah, he's from South Africa.
South Africa. David and Vicky Teo?
They're from Malaysia.
From Malaysia?
Yeah, so there you go, TPG, $3.08 billion. So, I mean, there's barely anyone who's born in Australia in the top 10 or 11 there, Ross.
So there's your top 10. So, okay, so therefore people say, lock the borders, let's not let any more immigrants come into the country. And as I say, we haven't, you know, gone to even the religious mix of these people. They could be any sort of religious mix. It doesn't matter. They have been successful in their own right because they've been driven business people who have spotted opportunities, have worked hard, taken the most of their chances, and have created not only wealth but employment and taxes for the country as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you'll find that most of them, if not just about all of them that we've just listed, started with nothing, or their family started with virtually nothing when they came here to Australia. So, you know, it goes both ways. Australia's been a fantastic country for them, but they've been fantastic for Australia, and the benefits have flowed. They're much wider than just their families, as you mentioned.
And you go to Frank Lowy. If you went and spoke to Frank Lowy, he's a very proud Australian. There is no doubt about that. You know, an incredibly proud Australian. Harry Triguboff, same thing. Richard Pratt, you know, though he had his issues late in life, there's no doubt, all the ACCC stuff and so forth, an incredibly proud Australian. And so this is the whole point about this. People come and adopt the country, embrace it, create their opportunities, make their wealth, and ultimately, guess what? They're as Aussie as anybody possibly can be, even if they might have a slightly thicker accent.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's just so many great migrant success stories on the list, Ross. I mean, that's probably my favourite part of editing, is just, you know, hearing these, you know, stories of people coming with nothing. I mean, I think we spoke earlier in the year about Manny Stuhl, the toy maker, who's, you know, a billionaire these days with his Moose Toys, which is an Australian, you know, business that's gone global. His parents were dropped off you know, in WA because the census needed to be done, and they were sort of, you know, he was born in a camp for you know, migrants in post-war Germany. I mean, they came here with nothing, started with nothing in the wheat fields of WA, and you know, he built businesses over there and has gone to become a global success. I mean, that just encapsulates, I think, the migrant success story that Australia has had.
Okay, now some people will sit here and think about this and go, well, okay, Ross and John, you're talking about the top end of town and these people got lucky and whatever it might be. But the point is also, it actually goes all the way down the chain, doesn't it? Because many migrant workers came here to try and find work, and ultimately they created housing, they got education for their kids, it went through the generation. So it's really an important aspect of this to recognise it's not just at the top end of town where these types of success stories occur. They occur in every neighbourhood and every suburb and every city in Australia.
Yeah, that's right. And as I mentioned before, a lot of these people who are at the top end of town now were certainly not there when they arrived here in Australia. I mean, there's stories of, you know, people being, you know, having to learn English while they're, you know, delivering pizzas at night, have gone on to become tech multi-millionaires. I mean, these are the sort of stories that this list is. But I mean, those are replicated on probably, you know, a smaller wealth scale, you know, around the country many times over. But they're still, you know, successful parts of Australia in so many ways.
Tell you what, it's going to be interesting. John Stenschult, the editor of the BRW Rich 200, and very shortly what I'm going to do is just help you out, because there has been, for a long time, a very terrific award in this country. That is the Ethnic Business Awards. Joseph Asaf is the founder of those awards. He's right now overseas. We'll get him on the line in a little bit. But John, in the meantime, we appreciate your time as well.
Thanks so much, Ross.